Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. The phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, we just pray and ask to use the program for your glory today. We just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, and we just pray to be a blessing and encouragement that we could point people to Christ through the things we talk about. And also today, we certainly pray for our country. Lord, our country certainly has taken a decided turn away from the Bible, away from biblical morality, and descending further into the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We just pray that you would just have mercy upon our country, raise up a body of believers in this country to take a stand, to pray not only for our country's repentance, but also to make a difference in the world around us. And just thank you for the opportunities today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our prayer, kind of reflecting some of the things that are happening today, actually had a couple of things I was going to touch on, and amongst them, I wanted to mention about the United Church of Christ having their convention in Cleveland, I guess this weekend, coming up here shortly. And one of the things they're going to talk about is how evil the nation of Israel is and how they need to boycott it, divest themselves of it, things like that, further turning against the nation of Israel. Yet another group, the Presbyterian, I think it's Presbyterian Church USA previously, has done things like that, and other groups have been moving in that direction. And then there was the terror attacks in France and Algeria, I believe it was, different ones happening. And I had read somewhere just recently that there have been more terror arrests of people, basically jihadis here in the United States in this year alone than in the previous 2 years combined. And that's just an amazing thing. It just seems like our country, the world is getting worse and worse around us. And that leads me into, which kind of preempted some of those things, but yet at the same time, hopefully we'll tie in a little bit. And that's the Supreme Court decision that was released this morning, a 5-4 decision, basically saying that now same-sex marriage is going to be the law of the land. And this is really a very disconcerting development for our country. This is further going down the path of becoming like a Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you read in your Bible, this is one of the key signs of the latter days in Luke chapter 17. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking here in Luke chapter 17. He says two things here to be characteristic of the latter days. He says, and as it was in the days of Noah, that's Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, remember Lot lived in Sodom, there's a disease today that gets its name from the activities that Sodom was noted for, there's an activity that goes by the name of Sodom as well. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, and they drank, they bought, they sold, they builded, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Sodom and its twin city, Gomorrah. Gomorrah is the one that gave us the disease name, not to Sodom. Sodom's the one that gave us the activity name, but enough said on that. What I'm getting at here is Jesus said characteristics of the latter days, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. And there's some key characteristics there, and you can certainly review some of those things back in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 6 and 7 for Noah, and Genesis chapter 18 and 19 for Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot. And in both cases, the wickedness was so great that God determined to bring judgment by way of destruction. First, with the case of Noah, the imagination of man's heart was continually evil, and rejection of God, rejection of his word, persecution of his prophets. And yeah, it's kind of interesting. If you think about it, the Bible says, Peter writes that in the last days there would be scoffers, and that they would deny the flood that took place in Noah's time. They would deny all that. It's kind of interesting when you look at astronomy. Astronomers tell us that at one time, Mars was covered with water because it bears the evidence of water, but all that water is gone. You don't find it there. And of course, they explain the thin atmosphere. They don't understand. They don't explain how the atmosphere got thin in order to allow the water to leave the planet. But because of that, all the water just kind of drifted off into space, I guess. But so they'll accept a global flood of Mars. But when the Earth, where we have abundant evidence of a global flood, both geology and the fact that there's enough water in the oceans and lakes and rivers and streams of the planet, if our planet was level, you know, smooth the whole way, just like a smooth ball, it would be covered about 2 miles deep in water. And, of course, during the time before the flood, we did not have the high mountains that we have today. There's a lot of geological activity that took place that produced these high mountains. And it was a global flood. The evidence is everywhere for that. Hiking in the Rocky Mountains, you could find sea shell fossils up in the, along the Continental Divide. And so the evidence is there, the water is there, and yet scientists say, oh, no flood, that never happened. Even sociologists tell us, anthropologists tell us, that the more widespread a myth or legend is, the more likely it is based upon something that actually happened. And the flood is almost universal across various cultures and nations and people groups. And in fact, up until probably recent centuries, it was pretty much believed by most scientists. But anyway, getting back to this, we certainly live in the days as in the days of Noah. Now we live in the days as in the days of Lot, where homosexual behavior, sodomy, is promoted. It's not just tolerated, it's being endorsed. The military went from, it was something that would get you thrown out of the military, to, under President Clinton, the don't ask, don't tell policy, to allow homosexuals to serve in the military. And then a few years ago, revisionist history said that was somehow discriminatory, and almost implied that it was conservative Christians that forced that, when it was liberal Democrats that pushed that in the military. And then, of course, that allowed for the open serving openly, homosexuality within our military, to where even military chaplains, if they state what their biblical view is on the subject of marriage and homosexuality, they can be court-martialed, they can be drummed out of the military, harassed out of the military today. And that's what we see happening. And now we have the Supreme Court of the United States in a 5-4 decision. I've been saying all along it's going to be a 5-4 decision. I just wasn't sure which way it would go. And Justice Kennedy was the swing vote here. 5-4 decision that says basically that homosexuality, same-sex marriage, has to be endorsed across these United States. Well, if you want to comment on some of this, or weigh in on this, or something else, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy calling in from Euclid this afternoon. Nancy, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call, Pastor Al. I was very, very distressed, but frankly, not terribly surprised.
It's yes,
a court decision, but it does make me very fearful. And I know, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7 or something, it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm just calling upon that verse And, you know, thinking back to 1973, this very, very dreadful decision, you know, about abortion, you know, saying abortion is legal in this country, and that is not God's law. I mean, God's law always supersedes, you know, man's law. And if you could just give us some kind of, besides, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and sound mind, that our country won't be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah, because this seems to be the key sin more than any other that God brings down a nation. And I know you've already hinted this, but if you could just give us some kind of comfort.
Well,
but, you know, God's judgment might be upon us soon.
Oh, absolutely. And as we see our nation, there's a couple of things that are going on here. We see our nation, and unfortunately, well, I'll use the term churches turning against the Jewish people and against the state of Israel. That alone, you know, brings us into judgment. And then we see our nation and, unfortunately, organizations that call themselves churches endorsing same-sex marriage. I had mentioned about the United Church of Christ convention in Cleveland, I guess, coming up here. They're one of the groups, the United Church of Christ in Brecksville, Ohio, was flying the rainbow flag in front of the church in the local paper, because I live in Richfield, just below Brecksville, and our church was for a while getting the Brecksville paper as well as the Richfield paper, and there was an article in there when they had a pastor that came in that he had left another denomination, found a welcoming home with United Church of Christ because he had left his wife for a man, and his denomination that he was in before frowned upon that. And this is not hearsay. This was published in the paper. They were quite proud of the fact that they had a pastor who was a homosexual, who was in a relationship living with a man, and that they were now going to become a welcoming church to the LGBT, ABCD, all the way through Z community. It changes all the time. And they put the rainbow flag out there and everything else. It was very much open. And in the local paper, and so it wasn't, you know, hearsay type thing. But let me give you this: I believe that the United States, and I would love to say, well, there's real hope for America, and we don't know when the Lord's coming back. If Bible believing Christians got together, banded together, prayed for this country, and got active. And voted, it just went out and voted for one thing, and then even got involved in the voting process, you know, become poll workers at the elections or get involved in your local county board of elections or run for office. That'd even be better. And we've let this thing go. There's not one born-again Christian on the Supreme Court, and, you know, we wonder where these decisions come from. This country does not figure as a major player in the end time prophecies. And I think this is a time where we've got to beware and start praying, asking God what we can do to make a difference in the last days. I think just like Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, he said, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's talking about the catching away of the believers. And I was just asked this past week in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul uses this phrase in reference to, he used it twice in the chapter, but I'll read it right here in verse number 19. He says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And he's talking about that phrase, lay hold on eternal life. What's that mean for a believer to lay hold on eternal life? And in that overall passage, starting in verse 17, there's a sentence that runs from verse 17 to verse 19, and he's addressing those that are rich in this world who happen to be believers, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. And elsewhere he uses that phrase, laying hold on eternal life. Here it is, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. This is one I actually want to read even more. Lay hold on eternal life.
What chapter is that? In
1 Timothy 6, verse 12. And I just realized I got a few calls calling in too, so I want to get to them as well. But lay hold on eternal life. That means remember that as a believer, you are saved. Don't let anybody shake your confidence in the fact that you have eternal life. When we see our country departing from the Bible, departing from its biblical Christian foundations, shaking its fist in the face of a holy God and lifting up and glorifying sin and perversion of all kinds, we as believers should not grow weary. We should not faint. We should realize we're called to be soldiers and lay hold of that promise that God gave us of eternal life. Make a difference. Be salt. Be light. Do what you can until that day that Jesus catches us away to be with him in heaven. I hope that helps, Nancy. I got a couple more calls. Let me get to them. Just got short time, so.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, but encourage yourself. Lift up your head. Look up in your redemption draweth nigh.
And of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people would your call by my
right.
name, remove themselves and pray and take thy face and...
Well, and it, yeah,
I'm summarizing it.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. You gave a perfect answer. Thank you.
Yeah, but we do know from the Bible that the
for God and it sort of inspired me more to do more.
Yeah, we should be inspired to do more.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, and we're going to get Mark on here next. Mark, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
How are you doing, Pastor Al?
Good. Welcome to the program today.
Yes, a very good program. In the interest of time, I'm just going to make just a quick comment. I was listening. I was not surprised at all concerning the degradation as far as the situation. This goes right back to the Supreme Court of 1973.
Right.
And they're only supreme in their sins and their wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking God to bring judgment upon America and the rest of this world because it seems like this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, because in order for Christ to come back, this must take place.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing that Christians are being attacked. We're seeing the church being attacked. We're seeing the nation of Israel being attacked. So what we have to do here is basically use common sense here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a pastor of a church. Now, you and I both know that homosexuality is an abomination unto God.
Right.
Leviticus 18.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way that I would perform a marriage if I'm a pastor.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they can't come to me with that nonsense because of the simple fact is you have to stand strong. You have to understand who God is for yourself. And I'm going to be, hopefully, Lord willing, downtown tomorrow for the last time with Pastor Ernie's crew, trying to preach to these wicked, ungodly type of peoples who are going to be down there tomorrow, because by them hearing this decision of the Supreme Court of 2015, they're going to be ecstatically out of their mindset because of the fact is now they feel as though that across the nation of all 50 states, including the territories, they can do this sodomite or this homosexual nonsense. And that's all that it is. And like I said, for the interest of time, we have to be about our Father's business.
Right.
You know, so it's nothing to sit down and feel bad about. You knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was coming. It's not rocket science.
You're absolutely right, Mark. I appreciate that call.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you, and Lord bless you in your work and as you go downtown. And just to bring out a good point that Mark brought out there, and also Nancy had referenced the 1973 decision that legalized the murder of unborn children. And now it may be legal by man's law in both of these cases, but it's not legal by God's law. And we've talked about this on our programs before, the idea of authority. We obey man's law when it does not conflict with God's law. And I have a simple analogy with that. And when I was in the United States Air Force, I left the Air Force as I was a sergeant. I left the Air Force to go into the ministry. That's why I left the Air Force. But I understood that as a sergeant, I had a certain amount of authority. My authority came from being a member of the Air Force, and it came through the government. Now, I had people who had authority over me. An officer, for instance, a major, a captain, or whatever, could colonel, general, whatever, could give me an order. I was duty bound by the Uniform Code of Military Justice to disobey that order if it was an unlawful order. And I believe in the same sense. See, I was duty bound to obey lawful orders, but I was duty bound to disobey unlawful orders. And really, I think we're in that area here, both with the 73 decision, Roe v. Wade. We're duty bound as believers to obey God's law and disobey this unlawful ruling by the Supreme Court then. And likewise today, as a pastor, I am duty bound to obey God's law and disobey this 2015 ruling that would try to tell me I have to officiate at a same-sex marriage. I cannot do that. I am duty bound by God's law, which is higher, to disobey this unlawful ruling by the Supreme Court. And of course, we got Jeremiah wants to weigh in as well. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Oh, yes, hi. I have my King James Bible open.
Yes, sir.
I have my King James Bible open through Mark chapter 10,
mm-hmm.
verse 6 through 8.
Right.
It says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this shall cause a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and as they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twined, but one flesh.
Right.
Now, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Correct.
And this sodomites getting their equal of marriage to the Supreme Court today is outrageous, and it's a sin against God.
Yes, and Jeremiah, let me bring up another point with what you just raised there. That was a very good passage that you brought up. This is how God created it, and we have turned so far away from God that obviously polygamy's next, and polygamy was something that God tolerated in the Old Testament, but clearly that did not approve of. It caused all kinds of problems, but that's next to come. Polygamy is next, and then of course, the pedophiles are out there. They're waiting in the wings. I've already read some things where they're claiming that pedophilia should no longer be considered a sickness or an illness, but just a different way of loving, just like they did with the homosexuals. And they're going to claim that adults can enter into marriages with children. And, you know, once you go down that slope into perversion, you accelerate faster and faster into it. And I was going to point out something else with what you brought up there, Jeremiah. These people that are pushing this same-sex marriage and the pro-homosexual agenda and all this nonsense, by and large, they reject the Bible and they've embraced fully the false teaching of evolution. Now, I've studied evolution. I got a biology degree myself, and I've studied evolution quite a bit. And in evolution, and I do not believe evolution. Let me stress that. I reject evolution completely in terms of, the idea of molecules to man type of thing. But the idea in evolution is there's got to be an advantage that allows a population to pass on its genes. And let me ask you, what advantage is there to reproduction and passing on your genes in a same-sex marriage? Absolutely none, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, none.
And even by their own philosophy of evolution, that says that what they're doing is an aberration.
Hey, God bless.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremiah, for that. And isn't that interesting? The Bible condemns it. And it's certainly immoral and against God's law, but even their own favorite lie of evolution would say that it's an aberration because it serves no useful purpose. Survival of the fittest would say that they're not fit. It's you know, when you cease to believe God's word, it's not that you cease to believe anything. You're going to believe some of the dumbest things. And that's where we're at today. Pray for our country. Don't give up hope. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.